Welcome. It's lovely, lovely, lovely to see you all on this beautiful day. What could be better than this lovely service in this wonderful setting? Now, today is about a question. So I want to start off with some questions. I'm not going to ask any individuals for answers, but you have a think, and it's going to be a hands-up sort of thing. So here's my first question. Everyone's going to get this one right, I'm sure. Put your hand up if you've ever been asked a question. Every hand, there you go. I've just asked one. Good, well done, you're awake. It's good. I might have seen one or two who didn't put their hand up, but I'm watching. Okay, now, another easy one. Put your hand up if you've ever been asked a question. Yeah, there we go, everyone. Now, have a think about this one. Have you ever asked a question and got an answer you did not expect? Yeah. Yeah, it's quite common, isn't it? That happened to me not long ago. I'm going to tell you about it. I had a class from the school visiting, which is always a great joy. I think they were year one, if I remember. So age 5 or 6, really little ones. It was a sort of history lesson with Christianity thrown in. They were coming to look at our lovely church. And we were standing just out here, starting the session. I asked them to look at the church and tell me what they thought was the oldest bit. It's a slightly trick question, really, because that bit looks really new, but it's just been polished up and refaced, and that's probably the oldest bit at the end there, the chancel. Anyway, I asked them, and they do what children do. And any teachers here or anyone who's done Sunday school will have this. Up go the hands before they've even heard the question. Then you ask someone who's stuck their hand up when you've completed the question, they say, I've forgotten. And then some said it was the tower and they pointed to different bits. And there was one little girl who had her hand up and she was doing that other thing of holding the hand as high as it would go. And so I picked her and said, what do you think? What's the oldest part of the church? And she gave me an answer I really did not expect. What she said to me, well, most of the kids had pointed at something, you know, they pointed that bit. She looked straight at me. And what she said was, I asked her, what's the oldest part of the church? She said, I like your ears. An answer I did not expect. I honestly can't remember what I said. What do you say to that? Now, a little bit later, the teacher told them what they were going to do inside and they had their sheets to fill in and all that sort of thing. And they were queuing here to go into the church. And I overheard the same little girl talking to the little boy next to her. And he was telling her that he, in his bedroom at home, he had 2 model plastic gnomes, which had big plastic pointy ears. And I saw her look at me. And she turned back to him and said, but his are real. Now, to the bit of the Bible we had read to us. So there is a point to this. Some of the women who'd been with Jesus before he was crucified went to his tomb early on the Sunday morning. Jesus had died on the Friday night, as you know, and had been put in a tomb carved from the rock. They found that the tomb, that the stone which had blocked the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. Rather, as it has on our little model tomb over there. They went inside. The tomb was like a small room, and they could go right into it. And there was no body. There were folded grave clothes, but no body. Can you imagine what they felt? I mean, it must have been awful. They must have felt despair. What new humiliation was this, that someone could have taken the body? He was dead, wasn't he? But what else could he do to them? Why would someone take the body of the one they loved so much? But suddenly 2 men appeared, and they weren't ordinary men. They were in clothes that gleamed like lightning. And the men said something to them. They asked a question. They asked a question that pulled the women up short, must have made them look at this situation totally differently. I think the question itself must have taken them from despair to hope. Have you ever been asked a question that pulled you up short, that made you rethink something before even you really got the answer? It's just a question. Makes you look at something differently. Questions like that can be quite uncomfortable, can't they? But I don't think this one was. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Why do you look for the living among the dead? "He's alive," they said. "He's risen. So why do you look for the living among the dead?" And they went on, "He told you this would happen while he was alive. He told you. He told you the Son of Man," that's how Jesus talked about himself, "the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." While he was alive, Jesus had told them many, many times he would be handed over, he would be killed, but on the third day he would come to life again. Who on earth could say such a thing about themselves unless they were mad? Or unless what they said was true, that they could do it because they are God the Son? Who on earth would say such a thing unless it was really going to happen? And so the angels, that's who the two men in gleaming white were, they stood there with the women and they asked, "Why? Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I wonder what you make of this. I go back to that lovely little girl who told me she liked my ears. And then when her friend told her about some plastic ears on his model nose, she said to him, "Yes, but he's a real." When the women went back to the others and told them what had happened, they didn't believe a word of it. What the women said to them seemed like nonsense. It did not seem real. It was only when the living Jesus, the risen from the dead living Jesus, appeared to others that they began to believe. First to Peter, then to the rest of the apostles, and then to more than 500 others at the same time. He was not among the dead. They were convinced Jesus was living. What he had said to them before he died was really true. Their lives were transformed. And the reason for that was founded in the hard reality that Jesus, the one who had been dead, was alive again. Since that time, billions have asked whether it is really true. And against all our human instincts, against all knowledge that we have, that dead people stay dead. Isn't that what we know? All knowledge is put aside because billions have read the Bible with open eyes, or have had the word explained to them, or have prayed and sought answers directly from God. And they've been able to answer that question. Yes, Jesus died, but yes, he is alive. And once that question is answered, even once you begin to grapple with that question, everything else changes. Nothing can stay the same once you know for certain sure that it is real. That once there was a man who said he would die and rise from the dead, and who did just that. For this can only be the work of God, and this man is, must be, the Son of God himself. And that's why we can repeat our Easter greeting to each other, which I love, so I always want to say it again. Our call and response. I say to you, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.